It's time for Windows Weekly jam-packed show for you. We, of course, Windows 8.1 came out this morning. We have an install guide for you from Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. The ins, the outs, the ups and downs, what to watch out for, the pitfalls. Also joining us, though, Greg Sullivan, who he's the director of Windows Phone at Microsoft, and he'll talk about GDR3 and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 333, recorded October 17th, 2013. Windows 8.1 is here. Windows Weekly is brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and unfiltered. For 20% off on your new account, go to proxpn.com/twit and use the offer code WW20. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers your Microsoft needs, and today is a very big day, a red-letter day. We've been doing this episode 333, so we've been doing the show for roughly 6 years. In that time, in those 6 years, only 37 different versions of Windows have come out. So it's very exciting when a new version of Windows comes out. It's a once every few months. No, this is a big deal.
This is the fourth Windows release since we started the podcast.
Can you believe that? We started, it was Vista?
Yep.
And then
Vista had not yet come out.
Good Lord. We started the show in the XP era.
If you want to hear some quiet desperation, listen to me talking about Vista before that piece of crap ship. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Wow. Wowie, wowie. So really, God, Bob, we've been doing this a long time. It's kind of cool, actually, if I think about it. Yep. So here we are, Windows 8.1. I misunderstood. I thought it was the 18th. In fact, I didn't check until I saw that Microsoft blog post this morning. I said, whoa.
Yeah, listen, I had a back and forth with someone from Microsoft PR yesterday that encompassed 17 emails. And the only thing I wanted explained was the difference between the 17th and the 18th and when this was really going to be released and how time zones work and where the sun comes up and it's over Australia. I swear to God, like... This is surprisingly complex.
Yeah. So when we talked about this, actually, we did talk about it that way. I think I remember we had this conversation then when they announced it. So it was the 18th in New Zealand is when it came out.
Except not really, right?
I mean, if you think not about yet. It,
7 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time is not tomorrow,
right?
In New Zealand, I don't think. So here's how I think of it, just to simplify matters.
Yes.
And I'm speaking purely from the viewpoint of someone in the United States, which I know drives some people insane.
Yes, because we have many listeners outside the U.S.
I apologize. But from here, from my perspective here in the U.S., the electronic versions of the Windows 8.1 upgrade are available now on the 17th.
Okay.
And the DVD retail versions will be available tomorrow on the 18th.
Okay.
Simple. I mean, why they can't just be both out at the same time, I don't know. But that's, I think, maybe the simplest way to think
about it. So I immediately, when I read that blog post on the Windows blog, they recommended going to Windows.com on your Windows 8 machine. I did that.
Let me guess, because this is also something that should be hilariously simple. What they described was not what you saw.
Well, it said click here, and it took me to the store, but I didn't.
The store, which had nothing on it.
Said nothing about Windows 8. Install,
yes.
Not one word.
Welcome to Microsoft.
So I thought, maybe it'll be part of my 11 updates that I need to do. I have some updates. No. So I pressed the update button, and it's been spinning ever since, and that was 8 in the morning.
I've spent a lot of time on this today. In fact, I think it's fair to say I have spent today on this. So... And I am so tired, my eyes hurt right now, but if I could also try to simplify this conversation.
Yes.
The way I will describe it is, you have some computer and it has some version of Windows on it. Windows 8, maybe it has the Windows 8.1 preview. You could have Core or Pro. You could have Windows RT with or without the preview. It doesn't matter. Any of those versions. There are things that need to be updated before you're going to see stuff. And one of those things, I think, is the store. You know, I think it's one of those like kind of silent upgrades that occurs. But but there are Windows updates that have to happen. Your computer has to be tied to your Microsoft account. It has to be one of the PCs that is, you know, recognized as being a sync companion, you know, a syncable PC on your your little Mac.
Some people
PC.
Didn't do that. I mean, most did. Yeah. It was the obvious thing to do, but some people didn't.
No. I really think there's a whole host of requirements that have to be met before you see that thing in the store. I know that Microsoft has not listed them out explicitly, because the truth is, as the hours go by today, as the days go by to tomorrow, those requirements are all going to happen. The problem is, when people wake up this morning and they get all excited to download this thing, the first thing they do is, God help them, follow the instructions in the Microsoft blog post. And it doesn't work because some of those requirements haven't been met, you know, and it's not really clear what they all are. But I've just noticed across multiple machines a bizarre like series of steps I've had to take on some of them just to get the store to even come up.
So had I done everything properly, I would have seen a tile that said Windows 8.1.
Yeah. So in fact, right now on that computer, you could possibly do something like this, like bring up the charms bar and go to settings and click on the power button. And it wouldn't surprise me to discover that it says, instead of sleep, shutdown, and restart, it says update. Sleep, shutdown, and restart and update, or update and restart.
Yeah.
Does it?
No. Well, probably. No. I'm actually running Windows Update right now. And the reason is I was off gallivanting about the world on the second Tuesday, and so I didn't get the second Tuesday patch. So I'm downloading those right now.
Okay. So you see, this is, you know, I don't know. I feel like I've spent much of my, when I'm not actually doing the thing or writing about the thing, looking at people's questions and trying to figure out what's going on. And it is kind of amazing. I have a feeling that if we just all started on this tomorrow, everything would work great, because naturally over the course of the day, our computers are just going to download those things.
Well, and Microsoft might get some feedback and adjust that windows.com page to say, okay, here are the steps. Make sure you've done this and this.
By the way, there are all kinds of wrong links. There's a place on the windows.com site that says that there is something called the Windows 8.1 upgrade, assistant. And it doesn't exist, at least not yet, right? There was one for Windows 8. It doesn't actually link to that. It links to a page that says something else. But
coming soon.
Clearly that thing will be coming.
Right.
It's just not there now. Okay. No, maybe it's there now. I haven't checked in the past 5 minutes. But, you know, that's how today has gone.
Now, some have reported, I guess most notably Tom Merritt, our morning news anchor on TNT, that he says it bricked his Surface RT. Have we heard widespread reports of problems associated with this?
We've heard different things from different people on Twitter. You know, like some people are like, I see a response from a guy right now. I woke up 20 minutes after I started the upgrade. I had a flawless download. Everything worked. It took me about 2 hours.
I hate people like that.
I know.
I hate you. Yeah.
It took hours from start to finish.
Yes.
That's a long time.
RT,
yeah.
Right? Is that on RT?
Yeah, on Windows RT.
Yeah. Because, RT takes hours.
Took a long time.
Part of that, I'm sorry to keep interrupting.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think part of it is not RT. I think there's like a limiter on the store. Because there have been many times today when the store main screen will just sit there with a little spinny, you know, whatever that is, like a progress.
Yeah, that's what I was getting for all morning.
Yeah.
And so, yeah,
and I think what that is trying to connect to give you that little update that lets you click on the tile.
I think a lot of people, you know, this busy day.
Yeah,
that's normal. I mean, and that's the thing. People are freaking out. It's like, guys, they just released this thing in like 117 languages or whatever, and you know, 137 countries, and you know, all like at the dot of an hour. I mean, yeah, what's that guy, the comedian who does the skit where he's like, you know, it's like, give it a second. It's going to space.
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. You know, it's coming back. It's like, just relax.
Everything's amazing, like, and nobody's
like
impressed.
Four of the Thunder God flying around in outer space. Give it a second.
Give it a chance.
You know, the part of the problem too was everybody's coming at this from a different place, right? Like some people are coming at it from Windows RT. Some have the preview installed on Windows RT. Some don't. Some are coming at it from Windows 8. Some have the preview installed. Some don't. So I think the only place I've seen this so far is on Paul's site. There's no one place where you can look and say, which operating system do I have installed? Okay, this is what I need to do.
Right.
Microsoft never did a post like that.
And the other thing, though, unfortunately, though, I've also noticed, and again, I think this is first day jitter stuff, but the series of steps you go through to make it happen, have actually now varied for me from machine to machine on the same type of OS. So, for example, there's a step during the setup process where in the store you can see it downloading. There's a progress bar that occurs, and then it prompts you to install. On Windows RT, the first time I did that, that did not happen. And so I thought, well, okay, you know, it's, and it worked. It downloaded in the background. It just didn't prompt me in any way. Yeah. And so I kind of wrote it up that way. And then I did the second RT install. And that time, the progress bar was there. But you had to tap on a little notification to see it. So I thought that was kind of weird. And then I did a VM install. And on that install, the progress bar didn't appear. But that was Windows 8 Pro.
Yeah.
And it was like, what's going on here? I mean, I think it's just weirdness from, the sheer volume of what's happening.
I think that's pretty, it's totally to be expected.
A lot of fun.
How many, what are we thinking? 150 million people are updating all at once? Something like that, right?
That's close to that, yeah, sure. At least it's certainly tens of millions we're doing it all at one time. I mean,
that's kind of a mind-boggling amount of data that they've got.
I interacted with every single one of them this morning, Leo.
I know. And I feel like I did, too.
They're all miserable.
I'm telling you, I'm serious. My eyes actually, like, my eyes hurt. Like, I got up so early today.
I know.
And it's been so awful.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to be an apologist here. I mean, this is
No, I think it's right. It's right
thing to do. So. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, for whatever it's worth, at least on my machines, and I've not every machine I have, but many machines now and some virtual machines, it's always worked. I mean, not for me at least. I mean, I have successfully installed. I mean, you know, Tom, I didn't hear exactly what his problem was.
I think it bricked it. I think it's not rebooted.
Yeah, so what he needs is Alex's miracle. Well, what did he use? A Surface RT or Surface Pro?
RT.
So Alex has the recovery media that I think Mary Jo might have made for him.
He does, yeah.
We were out there, and that will help. That's how he can get.
So you do is you do the recovery, and then you do it again.
Yep. And let me tell you, having bricked mine back in June when the preview came out, that's a fun little process.
Right.
If you lacked belief in Microsoft before it bricked your machine, try it after it has bricked your machine, to see where your heart's at.
Well, and it's kind of hard. You have to create this medium. It's not, there's not like a one button create recovery medium, or is there? Once you've bricked it, it's too late.
No one thinks to do it. Right. So on most computers, including Surface, by the way, the recovery partition is on the drive, and typically you can just access that. The problem is, as you upgrade from version to version, you lose the ability to go back to the original version of the OS. And so the reason the recovery media that he has, that Mary Jo had, which actually was created because I needed it right at build, if I'm not mistaken. So it's all it's connected. Like, exists because she still had Windows RT, the original version. I had bricked mine when upgrading to RT 8.1 in preview, and I needed to go back, but it had already destroyed the recovery partition.
Right. All right. So all will become well in the future.
You could probably go to your local Microsoft store and get one there, but...
Right. I'm running my updates, and by the time this show is over, with any luck,
I bet that by the time the show is over, you will see that install tile, and you'll be off and
running. Yeah. In fact, I might see it soon, because my upgrades are almost done.
I would just say to people, we can talk more about this, and we can talk more about, the different ways you can do it and all that, but for the people who have been kind of freaking out, because especially people on Twitter where we've been kind of publishing little tips and so forth, it will work eventually. If you're wondering, like, I don't see it in the store, what do I have to do? It will work eventually. I had that on one of the RT machines. It was really, really hard to get that thing going. And, you kind of restart the store.
Yeah.
It will eventually pop up.
I'm doing the first thing. In fact, I think it even suggested this, run Windows Update. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that, and then we'll see what happens from there. That's the big Windows.
What is this, the Acer you're using?
Yeah, the Acer S7.
And it's running Windows 8?
Windows 8, pure Windows 8, came with Windows 8. It is a Windows 8 machine, so, pro, obviously. So we'll see what happens here.
Yeah.
So maybe we at some point we should step through, the different versions of Windows and what you can expect.
All right.
One of the seemingly bad news part of this was that if you had upgraded to the preview before, you would have to reinstall your apps.
Right. And we had warned everybody, Microsoft had warned everybody, and we had warned everybody.
But actually, there's a silver lining to this story because I'm trying to think if I've tested this everywhere. Well, let's just say I believe on Windows 8 both versions and Windows RT. If you previously upgraded to the preview version of Windows 8.1 and now today have upgraded to the, you know, the final shipping version, you'll get a message like one of those full screen Windows 8 style notifications that says, hey, by the way, you're going to have to reinstall all your apps. And then you agree and you can upgrade. It takes a little while and it reboots a few times. When you come back to your start screen, everything is the way that it was before. And the tiles for the apps that you had installed before are all there, but they have a little install overlay on them. Mm-hmm. And
looks
so you
like
can tap
arrow,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like a little pointing
it's
arrow.
It's like that downward, you know, the install yeah. arrow. If you tap on that tile, it will install the app. So even though you do have to reinstall everything, at least for the Metro style apps, they're still, you know, they're, well, they're not there, but there's like a shortcut to them so you can just get them easily. You don't have to go find them. The desktop apps, you're on your own. Obviously, you have to go do that stuff. But I think that's kind of a nice little thing to throw in there, you know, because we've been warning people for a while this was going to happen, especially right. in RT where that's all your apps. I mean, you could do this upgrade and you don't really have to suffer too much because you were an early adopter.
So, okay. Now, there isn't a launch event for this, but they are doing a launch event for the Surface, the new Surface 2 today at midnight, 10 Microsoft stores.
No.
Next week.
That's the next week.
Next Monday night.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. So let me see now. I've done the updates here. Let me see if I got my new store. Yes, that's new.
Yeah.
And there it is. So what I hadn't done is Windows Update. So I did Windows Update, got to that presumably updated the store. So now I have update to Windows 8.1 for free.
Presumably.
Yeah. And then
hopefully it all is there.
Well, this is
pretty straightforward. Which version of Windows? Hold on. Before you tap that, what does that say? 3.62, right? So you must have, is that like X64 Pro version?
I don't know. How would I find that out?
It doesn't matter. If you really want to find out, Windows key plus X and then system. And then it will tell you there.
All right, let's see. I've got 64-bit full Windows Touch support with 10-point Windows 8.
Does it say 8 Pro or 8?
8.
8, so it's 3.62. That might be exactly the same.
It is 3.62 gigabytes on a Windows 8. So it might, it says Windows Edition. It doesn't say Windows 8 Pro or anything like that.
Yeah, so it's just Windows 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, okay, thank you.
So there, you add that another yet another data point to the Paul Thurrott.
Yeah, I forgot.
Database.
I didn't write all of them down. So,
and then so I'm going to go back to the store and I'm going to press download.
That won't be there.
You know it's there. Yeah. Download, pressing the download button, and it's got search everywhere, use it your way. It's got some nice little stuff. It says you can keep working, and now it's actually downloading. So that's good. So that was pretty painless.
Yep.
Right up to the point where it breaks.
Something else that we should mention, because I've seen a few people not realize this, is once you do get Windows 8.1 final bits, then you should check Windows Update, because there have been at least 3 and maybe more updates that Microsoft's developed and is releasing today that are the post-RTM bits. So you download the RTM bits, then you go into Windows Update and you look for these additional updates, which are going to give you a bunch of fixes and what's called the general availability roll-up that you can apply on top of the RTM bits, just to make it even more confusing.
Oh, that's good. All right, general.
It never ends.
No, it's good, though. So that means, you know, they RTM'd back in August.
Right.
And they've been still working on Windows 8.1 since. So these are updates to the Bing apps, and they're updates to some of the drivers and reliability and performance updates. So all of these things are ready. And you just go into Windows Update and just push them in, and boom, you got them.
Good.
Yeah.
RTM doesn't mean what it used to be.
It does not.
It's now just a suggestion. Yeah.
It's just a step on the path, Leo. It's like a Zen kind of thing.
All right. So, but that would be the standard advice no matter what. When you get a new operating system, then immediately run Update to see if there's been any fixes.
Yeah. You know how it is. You buy anything brand new, electronic, you get it.
First thing you do.
Plug it in.
I think we're all used to that now. Yeah.
It still kind of bugs me, but yeah, it's the way.
I know. I was going to say.
Well, you know where it bugs me is where you buy a brand new video game, and before you could play it, you
every time
you've got to re-download it effectively because, well, whoops, we shipped it with plenty of bugs.
The best reason to upgrade to an Xbox One is going to be because that stuff's going to happen in the background. Right. I feel like every time I turn on this console, it's upgrading something.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so. Lots of people doing this. The download is pretty slow, but it's doing it. 3.62 gigabytes. Sounds like that's the size for either.
Some of them are much smaller. You know, the 32-bit versions and the Windows RT version are much smaller than that.
RT takes a long time.
Well, it did today. I'm curious. I can't do it anymore. I guess I could blow it away and go back. But I've upgraded all my RT machines, so I don't know what tomorrow's going to look like, right. But I don't think faster. It's normally going to be 2 to 3 hours. Right. I'm sure it's going to be closer to an hour.
Yeah, my suspicion, just looking at the way this progress bar is going, is that this is going to take longer than the show to get this updated. maybe not, though.
No, I bet you could actually. You're going to have to keep an eye on it, though, because eventually what's going to happen is it's going to have to reboot. And the real install takes place during that reboot, kind of, you know, as Windows has been doing for a while. I think the Mac works this way, too.
Yeah.
Kind of go into this pre-install
environment or whatever. Right. You're downloading files and then you're, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll do that automatically, or do I have to watch for that moment?
It will eventually do it automatically, but if you are watching it, you can do it much more quickly.
Reboot now.
Yeah.
Reboot now.
Well, you'll see it. It will put up a kind of a full screen notification.
Right. What else? Any other tips, tricks, gotchas, things you want to tell the world that we've learned?
I don't want to get too laborious into it, but I mean, I think one of the discussions should be around what you can do from different versions, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it can get ugly the further away from Windows 8 one you get, I think is the way to put it. But, you know, Windows 8, Windows RT, not counting those computers that have upgraded to the preview version of 8.1, it's clean. It's a in-place upgrade. You know, you can your applications come forward, your apps come forward, your settings, your personal documents, all that stuff. So that's obviously the best experience. One thing I'm curious about is tomorrow, you know, when we can get retail media, you know, what that looks like, because those are like the full version, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So are we going to be able to do an upgrade with those? I mean, I think so. But, I don't know. So I think I'm going to have to pick one up and see how that works out.
And you said rollback. Is it possible to roll back? Or is that something special
to
that Paul Theroux...
Like to 8.0 or whatever?
That Paul Theroux can do and no one else knows how.
No, it's not that. No, anyone could roll back. I mean, the way to do it would be to create that recovery media before you install it. Oh. And then you can use that to restore it to the previous version of the OS.
Not too late. I'm installing right now, so I could do that right now. And we do that by... Windows X.
No. There's I just linked to this stuff today. The top, is it the top article? Yeah, the top article on my site, which is no, that's not it. I'm sorry. The second one down.
We're going to win everybody together. WinSuperSite.com.
I've written articles before. So the Windows 8 upgrade guide, electronic upgrade options, because you know we don't have the disks yet. Somewhere. Yeah, down in the troubleshooting notes at the bottom, it says make a restore or repair disk before upgrading. And I linked it to articles I wrote previously.
Everybody should be reading this article before they press that button right now. This is, I didn't even know you had this. The Windows 8.1 upgrade guide, electronic upgrade options. Read this because a lot of your questions will be answered and you don't have to email Paul and all of that.
Yeah, please don't email me. At least not for 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and this is probably just pragmatic to do regardless, right? Because, you know, just in case anything goes wrong.
And nobody ever does this. This is such a good idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're so used to everything working, you know, that when something does screw up, you know, you're kind of pinned. And that's what happened to me when we were out in San Francisco for build. I had my one Windows RT machine. I'm on the road. I do an upgrade. It bricks the machine. And now what? You know, and I think for most people that would be... life. I mean, that's how things work for most people. Of course, if I was home,
It's life.
No, if I was home, I would have been okay. I had two Windows RT machines, so I could have used the other one, you know, but I had to borrow Mary Jo's.
So you could create recovery media on any machine.
Yep.
It's not machine specific, or is it?
No, but it's OS specific. So this, and there's a lot of different versions,
right?
It's 32-bit core, 32-bit pro, 32, right. You know, well, actually that's not fair. It's probably true that the same recovery media would work.
How big a USB disk do I need?
I think it's 4 is the size.
4 gigs, okay. It's 4. And I'm looking at your article right V8. Now on how to do this.
I think it's 4.
So you go to start search settings.
And I'll look at what I wrote.
Create a recovery drive. I'm looking at it right now. I'm reading it on the
That's
air.
What I'm,
yeah, you want to read this here? I'll make it bigger for you so you can see it.
This says it must be at least 256 megabytes.
That seems kind of tiny.
It seems too tiny.
It seems too tiny. Too tiny. Yeah, it says that on the what? Well, hell. What's this boot camp drive? What is that, Paul? What are you doing this on a Mac? Boot camp.
Let's move along, Leo.
Busted! No, because that's how your screenshot. It's easier to do the production on a Mac or something.
No, I don't know why that says boot camp.
I don't know why. All right, so I'm going to do start search settings.
See it's for boot camp.
And there we go. There's settings, and I'm going to hit settings. And you can, and the nice thing is I can do this while this is downloading, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, right now it's just downloading the installer program, so you can keep using your computer. Right. And at some point you'll get that, you won't miss it. It's full screen, it's whatever color your background is, it's very bright.
All right, cool. So that's good advice for everybody. Make that recovery drive now, even if you're not doing the... install.
When when Windows 8.1 RTM came out, whenever that was, a month or two ago, I tested other things, that I have not yet tested on general availability. For example, one of the things that I found did work was you could activate Windows 8.1 against your Windows 8 product key. At the time, of course, the only install media that we had was from TechNet or MSDN. So you couldn't use a retail product key to install the product. You had to use your, MSDN or TechNet product key. But if you had a product key that you would, from a purchase you had made previously from Windows 8, you could actually activate against that key. This leads me to believe that you should be able to do the same thing, but with the final version and even install it with your existing key. But that's one of those things I still have yet to test. So there's probably more to be added to this list. And I know I'm going to hear from people who are going to say, well, I have a Mac and I'm running Windows whatever in boot camp, or I'm using it in a virtual machine, whether it's a Mac, a PC, or Hyper-V, whatever. Oh,
you got to fix your screen. That screen, by the way, it says on my machine, connect a USB flash drive. It must hold at least 16 gigabytes.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's because you were doing it on a Mac. I think.
Slightly bigger.
Okay. So six, it's not 4, it's not 8, it's 16. It's got to be a pretty hefty one.
Yeah,
I don't have a. I don't think I have a 16 lying around, so I'm gonna have to. I'm just gonna risk it here.
I'm pretty sure I do.
Oh yeah, most people do. All my 32s and 64s are at home. Yeah,
this is a 32.
In fact, I'm pretty sure I did this. I think at home I have this. I mean, that's kind of my policy. Would be a bit of a shocker if I hadn't.
I just dive right in. Then everything goes south.
I just do it.
Yeah, that's weird. So I just checked Windows Update on my Windows RT, and sure enough, there are Windows 8, RT 8.1 updates and a driver update. Actually, there's a system firmware update.
Wow.
Yep, there is.
And you have this is a Surface.
Yeah.
Yeah, Surface RT. That's interesting.
I think it's just the set of updates that are for Windows 8.1 that they did post RTM, right? That's just what this is.
Yeah. Yep.
All
right. I didn't realize it would be like a firmware.
Yeah.
Opponent.
Coming up in just a little bit, just a few minutes, we're going to talk about Windows Phone with Greg Sullivan.
Greg Sullivan.
Who is a director in the Windows Phone group. And so, you know what? We got about 8 minutes before we need to call him.
Okay.
I want to get a commercial in before then. So you have about 5 minutes. If there's anything else you think we should talk about in this particular discussion.
Yeah, we should touch on the mini tablet stuff, but let's do that after the...
After Craig?
Commercial.
Craig? Okay.
Or whatever. Yeah, whoever.
Yeah. All right. We're watching Windows Weekly. Paul Thrott, Mary Jo Foley, a red letter day. Windows 8.1 is here. And are you guys going to get in line at the Microsoft store in Newton or wherever the hell it is?
I almost said it was in Dedham. It's not in Dedham. It's in Boston.
Oh, it's not? It's not Baston. That one? Oh, no, it's Boston, right?
Baston.
Yeah, I might go Monday night just to do it.
Oh, it's Monday. It's a 20
for surface.
22nd,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for New York, you have to go all the way up to White Plains if you want to go. So
you should just come to Boston. Not. You have family here, don't you?
I do.
Just make a long weekend.
I've seen enough
of
my family.
We'll have a party. Party.
First.
Okay. Our show today brought to you by the folks at ProXPN. We've talked before about this on Security Now. In fact, Steve Gibson vetted them. He's a big proponent of OpenVPN. And OpenVPN is a way of creating a virtual private network. You might have first experienced this connecting to your work, right? Businesses often use virtual private networks. In fact, that's where the name comes from, really. The idea being you're at home, but you want to use your office network. So they use a virtual private network that you log into, and then you're connected through an encrypted tunnel to your work, preserving privacy, preserving, you know, security at work. Now, what happened, I think, over time is people realized, hey, wait a minute, you could do other things with an open VPN or with a VPN solution. For instance, you could ensure your own security and privacy at an open Wi-Fi access spot. Your data would go out of your computer, encrypted, tunneled to the server, and nobody could see what you're doing at the access spot. Nobody could hack you. It'd be a great way to bypass a snoopy ISP. If your ISP's, you know, sending you six strikes notices, it would be a great way to eliminate geographic restrictions. Because with a VPN, you don't look like you're coming from your locale. You look like you're coming from wherever that VPN tunnel terminates. Well, this is a company we like a lot that does this as a hosted service. It's called ProXPN. You can go to proxpn.com/twit to find out more. They offer excellent open VPN implementation. They have server exit points. In other words, open VPN servers in all over the world. So you could appear to emerge on the internet in Dallas, Seattle, London, Singapore, Los Angeles, New York City, or Amsterdam. If you, for instance, wanted to watch, you know, iPlayer, the BBC iPlayer, but they say, well, you can't do that. You're in Dubai. Well, you go to the London endpoint, and boom, you're in London, magically. It is a really good security solution. Now, they have a free version, but the paid version is also very affordable. In fact, $75 for a year, $9.95 month to month. We have a special offer. If you want to try ProXPN, use the offer code WW20, WW for Windows Weekly, 20, and you'll be getting 20% off, not just for the first month or year of your account, but forever, for the lifetime of your account. That brings the cost of OpenVPN when you pay by the year to less than $5 a month. For that kind of security, that's fabulous. They have mobile apps now, which is really great. That means instead of having to use the lesser PPTP on your mobile, you can use their new Android app. They have an iOS app that allows you to use OpenVPN on those devices as well, and that's really great, too. Real security. Bypass geographic restrictions. Bypass internet filtering, blocked websites. Bypass snoopy ISPs. ProX. PN.com, not ProVPN, but ProXPN.com. I want you to understand that that's it's a VPN solution, but it's ProXPN.com/twit to find out more, read all about it. And then again, if you want to save 20% for the life of your account, use WW20. And of course, you can cancel any time within the first 7 days for a full refund. So it's a great, you know, try before you buy, of course, but you got a week to cancel. And if you use WW20, you'll get 20% off forever. ProXPN.com/twit. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley are here. We're talking about a lot of stuff, primarily the Windows 8.1 launch today. Downloading now to a computer near you, I hope. Easiest way, the way Microsoft's blog entry suggests is you go to Windows.com on your Windows 8 device, and it'll point you to the right place. I guess it does some checking, or that's the theory. If you've run Windows Update, you know, if you're fully updated, and you should do that first. If you're fully updated on your Windows 8 PC, then when you go to the Windows 8 store, you'll see a giant tile that says upgrade to Windows 8.1. It's free. You can roll back if you've created the recovery media. If you haven't done that, do that now. Any other points people should consider, keep in mind?
I just thought of another thing I haven't tested, is the Media Center bit. And I don't know, Mary Jo, if you have heard from anyone with Media Center, but I believe...
No, I haven't.
Okay, I think that's been fairly seamless for people.
So if you Windows 8 doesn't come with Media Center, but people then go
out and get
it.
No, but you could have bought it.
Right.
And I believe that if you upgrade it...
You'll get Media Center 8.1?
Yeah, well, yeah, actually, there have been some minor, I think, kind of bug fix type things released for Media Center, but nothing... You know, nothing functional.
Will you need to enter your key? A number of people want to know, do I have to get my key? Do I need to re-enter? No, you don't have to do anything if you're upgrading, right? Mm-hmm. It's seamless. You just run it. And, a lot of times when we do operating system upgrades, I always say do a clean install. This is not a case where you could even. Well, I guess you could. You go get the media.
Well, actually, that's my tip. There is a way to do that.
Okay. Okay. So you may want to do that. We'll save that for the tip.
Yeah, you could. I mean, you know, this is one of those weird things. If you're running Windows 7, for example,
well, you have to do it then, right?
You'd have to pay to get Windows 8.1. It's expensive. You know, $119 for Core, $199 for Pro, and then you would do that upgrade, and you would lose all your applications, right? Right. One of the tips there is if you're going to do that upgrade for some reason, I mean, upgrade to Windows 8. Because you can upgrade from 7 to 8 and retain all your applications and then do the upgrade to 8.1 for free and once again retain all your applications.
Let's get to, we're going to get Craig's, we're going to get Greg Sullivan on the line and talk to him right now about Windows Phone. But hold your questions, kids, in the chat room, and anybody watching, you can go to the chat room, irc.twit.tv, and we'll do some more questions about this upgrade later. And we will also do some rumor watch. GDR3, all of that. Actually, let's get Windows Phone Director Greg Sullivan on the line. I think we are calling him right now. I see the attempt being made, but
Greg is the small one in the middle, by the way.
He's the one not wearing flippers. All right. Well, you know what? We're still trying to reach him. So I guess we got to. I pulled the trigger a little prematurely.
He's probably using Skype on Windows Phone.
Let's talk about the features of 8.1. We've talked a lot about the new UI, the fact that they've added a start button. But does it improve under the hood? Am I going to get better battery? Is there any benefit besides just UI improvements?
There are supposed to be, right? I only downloaded the final RTM bits on my Surface RT this morning, but I immediately noticed it felt snappier.
Good.
So I'm hopeful about that.
That kind of makes sense. I mean, this is, an opportunity for Microsoft to push a whole bunch of code that would present
Me, the big deal here is there's a couple of things. You know, there's that new, the Bing integrated smart search, which a lot of people are going to really like and a lot of people are going to not be so happy with. The integrated SkyDrive stuff that previously required you to download an app so you could sync with your SkyDrive storage is now really integrated in the operating system. I think that stuff is cool. And but beyond that, it's a bunch of small things. I mean, all of the apps have been improved. And that thing I've been talking about for a while now where they've made it better for people who want to stay on the desktop. And then conversely, they've made it better for people that want to stay on the tablet side and run just the touch-first kind of Metro apps. So I think this is a more successful version of that thing that Microsoft was trying to do before, which is walk this kind of strange line between traditional PC and new wave mobile device, in one system, which is, still kind of a controversial decision, but... I think it's a lot more successful along those lines.
Yeah. We also should mention some of the new apps that are in the new Windows Store today. The real official Facebook app is there.
Oh. Don't talk about that one too much. That's my pick.
Okay.
but there are others that are coming soon, or if not there already, including, I'll just give you a quick list, Hulu Plus, updated Evernote, eBay, Netflix, Nook, Adobe Photoshop Express, Box, Adobe Reader Touch, and Microsoft Solitaire, all updated for Windows 8.1 and out today or tomorrow, probably.
Thank God. That solitaire. Really needed.
You need that.
Needed an update.
You want that.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Where's My Water 2 is available.
Oh.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah.
You know, we got that going for us.
Is it a new API? Is it a new, I mean, why new update? Why new apps?
Well, yeah. I mean, there are updates to the APIs. I mean, there's some basic capabilities that are occurring here that are different, like the new tile sizes, for example. So
right.
You can have really large tiles that can provide a lot more information. And that's one of the basic advantages of this type of UI that Microsoft is pushing to all of its devices, where you don't have to go into the app to discover more about your next appointment. It's on the tile, you know. And a lot of the time, depending on the information, that's all you really want. You know, what are my next three emails? What are my next three meetings? What's the weather going to be like for the next 3 days? Like, I shouldn't have to go into the app. You know, in other mobile systems, there's like a weather tile or an icon, and you tap on it, and then the app loads. You can look at the weather, and you leave, and you go do something else. On this one, this stuff is all out there, you know. And by making the tiles have the possibility of being much bigger, people can configure those things the way they want. And then the things that they want information from can be bigger. Plus, it works better on those higher resolution screens, too.
A lot of people in the chat room asking about smaller tablets, 8-inch tablets. Do we know how well it works on those? Are there issues there?
Well, yet to see issues
there. Yet to see.
Well, Mary Jo, you wrote something about a Lenovo device. There are definitely new devices coming, so this is going to change pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean this release does support the mini tablets. There's the new Lenovo tablet, the 8-inch that was announced this week. That's going to be out before the end of October. And then I think Dell. Mm-hmm. No, who was the one who redid theirs? Acer, right?
Oh no, Acer redid theirs.
The one you hated has been redone.
Well, and they fixed the screen.
right, they fixed
the
screen.
That's the problem. Now the new version has an IPS screen.
Yep. So those both are optimized to run with Windows 8.1 because Windows 8.1, they fixed some things around portrait mode, supposedly made it work better that way, and also done some other optimizations for the mini size tablet. But, you know, Microsoft's mini tablet, the mini Surface, that's not coming till next year, but that's not because it couldn't have run Windows 8.1 is my understanding, but there's a lot of different things in play there.
Somebody's, you know, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. As you were talking, I was looking at the apps list on this RT tablet, and we mentioned earlier how you know when you upgrade from a preview. There's Greg.
Yes, Greg has arrived.
Okay.
Do you want
Greg?
You
look like Darth Vader in the dark there.
Yeah, we can. I can brighten him up.
What?
Are you my father?
You know it to be true.
So, Paul introduced Greg Sullivan, director of Windows Phone for Microsoft.
This is Greg Sullivan, the director of Windows Phone for Microsoft.
Nicely done.
A true professional. I'm a professional.
Yeah. So, welcome, Greg. It's good to have you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Although I was told that there would be discussion of microbrews and Rodgers and Hammerstein tunes, I think that's actually in the sweet spot of my area of expertise anyway.
I don't think we've yet to plumb the Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yeah, beer definitely. I'm not sure about the second one.
Are you, Mary Jo, you hiding a secret infatuation with Broadway musicals? I missed this. Okay, all right.
Beer
I could sing Oklahoma, if that makes you feel better, Greg. or is that Lerner and Lowe? Maybe I've got them wrong.
I think that's Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Okay, good,
actually,
all right. Yeah. Okay. Don't you wish to be there forever? Paul, Mary Jo, somebody, take the lead here.
Yes, I'm sorry. So,
somebody,
why are you
take
here?
The gosh darn lead.
What have you wrought? The short version is that the Windows Phone team has recently released the third update for Windows Phone 8, which they're calling Update 3. The cool thing this time around is they're allowing individuals, developers, but basically anybody who wants it, to get it ahead of carrier approval, meaning that an update that maybe previously would have been coming in the coming months is now technically available right now if you want it. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that. And what have you done?
That's a program that we that we launched for registered developers. The good news is that it's pretty straightforward. I myself am a registered developer for Windows Phone, and it's great to go up to App Studio and download the SDK. And in fact, there's a set of templates that anybody can pretty easily create an app. But we did this program really to provide developers with a way to test their existing apps to ensure that they're going to work on updates. And this is a pre-release version of the software. So we put all kinds of kind of qualifiers and warnings. It's you're kind of on your own. It's not final code. It's effectively the final software from Microsoft in this case, although in future versions of this program, it may be even more pre-release, true beta. But in this case, it's effectively the code that we've finished and then have handed over to the handset manufacturers, who then will combine their firmware updates, their packages, the applications that they put on, and then test that and hand it over to the mobile operators, who then put it on their networks and check it out. And for a given phone operator pairing, will determine that it's good to go, and that's when they start delivering that. But for developers to get their hands on this early, we wanted to have this program available, and we're happy to be able to do that just this week.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, for anyone who uses Windows Phone, I mean, they know this is a big, big deal, because, you know, in the past, there were always stories about, you know, Microsoft created up, you know, GDR2, and we waited, and we wait, and we, you know, and eventually, like, a new phone comes out, and that has it, but it takes a while for us to get it, you know, depending on the carrier, depending on the country, depending on the device, you know, all that stuff. So being able to get this thing really quickly is just an amazing thing.
Yeah, a lot of folks are excited about it. And I think one of the things that, you know, we maybe could have done a better job of explaining is we think in terms of updates in general, we've certainly invested a lot in this process. And for those of you who've been around a while, you remember back to the first update to Windows Phone 7, technically not the first update, because that was an update to enable further updates, you may recall. Right, but the Nodo update, the thing that brought copy and paste, that took a long time. We demonstrated that early on because we wanted to show that we've built this, and it didn't make it in the initial release of Windows Phone 7, and took a long time for that to actually roll out broadly. We've invested heavily in our process and the engineering team that actually does the updates, and they've gotten much, much better at this. And we're really proud of the fact now that not only have we delivered in the less than a year since Windows Phone 8 has been out, the third, not insignificant update to the platform, but we've been able to make those available to just about everybody who has Windows Phone 8. The first update went out within a couple of weeks, really, a couple of months. We launched in November, and we started shipping the first update in late December, actually. Began rolling in earnest in January. And within several weeks after that, it was available to virtually the entire installed base of Windows Phone 8 devices. And so that was a much, much improved kind of rollout. With the second update, it took a little bit longer. We had more devices in market, a different variety of new and existing hardware. The testing matrix got bigger. There were some issues that needed to be addressed. And so that one took a little bit longer. But the good news now is that within a couple of months here, we're about 2.5-3 months after the second update started rolling out, it is available to over 95% of the existing installed base of Windows Phone 8 users. So within a short order, we got that out to just about everybody. And now, of course, with Update 3, we have the program for those who, for the registered developers, of course, who are excited about getting their hands on it, they can get it beforehand. So not only have we continually updated the platform and did a lot of work to keep it fresh, but we've also kind of brought along the entire installed base, which is not something that that Android has been able to do successfully, because they have a much kind of more fragmented installed base and a bigger challenge there. So we feel really good about that. I think one of the other things that we've been talking about that I think is not as well understood is folks have asked us about the end user functionality. And I think one of the things that gets lost is if you even go back to that first update that we started rolling out in January, that update, one of the more significant aspects of it was the enablement of the single largest mobile operator on the planet, China Mobile. Before that, we didn't have the network technology and the other requirements in place in our platform to sell our phones on the biggest mobile operator in the known universe. And so that update, while if you're a Lumia 920 user on AT&T, you got that update and you didn't see a lot different. The fact that there was things in there that brought Windows Phone to, you know, a billion more potential users is a very, very significant thing for the platform. So as a result, we sold a lot more 620s and 520s, and the platform began to increase its momentum, and developers started to prioritize us more. So the benefits to the Lumia 920 user of that first update were indirect, but still significant, because right. We kind of brought the it's an investment in the whole ecosystem. And then, of course, by the third update, we got to the point where we're able to do kind of more end user feature work, stuff that folks have been asking for, like rotation lock and text tones and that kind of thing. So you'll see us continue to keep cranking and accelerate on the pace of updates, and importantly, do an even better job of bringing along the whole install base, which is something that I think some folks lose sight of. So we're because it's important to us.
Yeah. What are the things you've heard feature wise that people are liking in GDR 3? Because I know that there are quite a few. I'm still calling it GDR 3, but update 3.
yes,
I know, like 1080p HD and the 5 to 6 inch screen size, which we still haven't seen anything use that yet, but I bet soon. Driving mode, right? Support for quad core ARM. What are you guys hearing so far? What are people liking?
Well, there's a few kind of different groups of things. I think number one is the stuff that is kind of hygiene in some respects. It's not earth shattering features like rotation lock, like the text tones. Stuff that people have seen on other platforms have been asking us to implement and say, hey, when are you going to have this? And now they're happy that we do. One of the things that's interested me is how much of a response driving mode has received. It's been a really popular thing. Folks have looked at that and said, this is an important area. We're not claiming that it's the ultimate solution for what is a big problem in distracted driving, but it's an important step in the right direction to have people have some more control and to automate that process so that when you get in your car and your phone pairs with the Bluetooth audio in your car automatically, it turns on a feature that will reduce the distractions you have on the road. So that feature has been very, very well received, in particular from folks that don't follow Windows Phone as closely as Paul and Mary Jo, for example. But that's been an interesting one. And then the third category you kind of alluded to, Mary Jo, is the things that enable new hardware. And as you mentioned, that theoretical new hardware has not been described or announced or unveiled yet.
But if it was going to be described, how would you describe it?
Totally awesome. Well, Mary Jo and I were joking. I'm getting to the age where I often have to reach for my reading glasses. And on these theoretical larger screens, that's something that I don't have to do as much. But even if you're not old and near and have losing your vision like me, just about everything that we do with a smartphone benefits from a larger, higher definition screen and more powerful processor. So these new devices, these theoretically enabled new devices, do benefit just about everything you do with a smartphone, whether it's media consumption or playing games or reading. A lot of the stuff I do on my phone will actually benefit from a bigger screen, and not just because I'm in need of reading glasses.
Can I put you on the hot seat for a couple questions?
I would be disappointed if you didn't, Mary Jo.
Okay. The one I keep getting asked is, some people thought Notification Center was going to show up possibly in Update 3, but it didn't. What should people expect if they were looking forward to when they might see a Notification Center in Windows Phone?
Well, I have no announcements to make today with respect to Notification Center, but no, it is something that people have asked for. We built a user experience, as you well know, that is designed to kind of surface information. The live tiles bring stuff to you. We've tried to make it very easy to track the things that you care about and have them serviced and brought to you. But we have heard from users that a way to kind of aggregate that and bring it together is would be a beneficial. So it is something that we're hearing from folks and that we've been looking at, but no announcements today.
Okay, that's fair.
You'll be the first to know.
Okay, good. I also get asked a lot about, you know, we're seeing more and more Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 adopting things from Windows Phone. You know, we're seeing that those UIs coming closer and closer together. But sometimes people ask the reverse question, like, will we ever see something like Charms on Windows Phone? Like, is that the way we should be thinking about it or not thinking about it?
Well, I would hesitate to talk specifically about a given okay. feature and what the implementation is going to be, because yeah. that really is being decided. And I think, you know, part of what's going on with the reorg over here that was announced a couple of months ago is that some barriers are being broken down kind of organizationally, both in the engineering and really broadly across the company. So you're seeing a different perspective about how our products work together and a more holistic view of the experiences people want to have and how they flow across the different screens that people use. So that at a high level and as kind of a general guidance is something that we're spending a lot of time thinking about now. Whether or not a specific feature from one implementation yeah. is going to show up in another, I can't say at this point. But the general idea about what is the appropriate experience to have on the piece of glass that you happen to be in front of is something that a lot of, you know, people are spending time thinking about. And so, you know, as we've discussed, our platform today scales from, you know, about a 3.5-inch screen all the way up to the, you know, 100-inch projector of your Xbox. And in fact, the experience is consistent across that, from the phone to the tablet to the PC to the Xbox on the big screen. And we have one way to kind of log in across all of it, one authentication mechanism with Microsoft account. And we have one storage model kind of tying it together, a substrate with SkyDrive that lets your stuff show up where you want. And so we'll keep spending time thinking about how to deliver the experiences people want across a range of devices that integrate all these services. So you'll see a lot more, you know, kind of integration. I think we're already better than any other platform provider in terms of the breadth of that offering, if you think about it as one big platform, as well as how tightly integrated those experiences are, but we still have a lot more to do and that we can do. So yeah, in general, it's directionally, I can tell you that we are thinking about how the experience is appropriate for the device that you're on, that there is a consistency across all of it, and that the services just plug in automatically. And so that's where we'll keep investing, but we'll just have to wait and see how that maps out.
Yeah, that's fair. How about, you know, we keep hearing hints, rumors about this unified store supposedly coming to Windows Phone and Windows 8. Supposedly, they even talked about this, the powers that be, at the Microsoft internal meeting recently. I'm not going to ask you when, because I know you can't talk about that. But I'm curious more about, like, what is a developer, if you're a developer either building for Windows Phone or for Windows 8, how should you think about what you should be doing if you believe there is going to be a unified store? Like, what's the best thing you can be doing to prepare for a time when that may be how things look and how users get their apps? Any guidance for developers?
Well, I think the guidance today is that we've enabled it, we got a lot better in Windows Phone 8 by virtue of really just being on the NT kernel and having the core, you know, the file system, the networking, the security fundamentals, the media pipeline, all of those kind of low level OS components be consistent from the phone to the tablet to the PC, and even all the way up to the, you know, big server clusters. So we have a fundamental consistency at that foundational level. We have differences at the API level, at the app plat level, the ways that we expose the underlying functionality of the system, depending on which you know, which platform you're targeting, which execution environment, whether it's phone or PC. The advice to developers is to to keep building and use the tools that are available today. As things evolve, we'll provide more guidance. But I think the advice is today you can do get a significant amount of code reuse, and of course it depends on the application. The kind of UX layer is unique to the execution environment because the phone UI, the app on the phone is going to look and behave different on the 4-inch screen than it will on a 10 or 11-inch screen, and that's appropriate. But there already is today a significant amount of code reuse for all of the underlying system level stuff like file system access, media pipeline, the stuff we talked about. Additionally, the business logic, if you're doing kind of LOB apps, a lot of the logic on the back end will be effectively identical. It's really at that UX layer where the uniqueness to a given execution environment are. So we'll tell developers if you're writing a phone and a tablet or PC app, there already is a significant amount of reuse you can use, you can do with your code. We have tools and sample code and all kinds of resources to help kind of optimize for that reuse and that efficiency. The store thing, as when you first said store, I was thinking of file system, not marketplace. The store thing is we've kind of given some directional guidance there as well. The guidance for developers to take advantage of that is, use the tools and the guidance today to gain the efficiency that you can. And as that evolves, you'll be well set up to take advantage of it.
Okay.
I assume you're rooting for the Red Sox.
So here's the thing: I was pulling for the Pirates in the National League, because I'm a Cubs fan. So anybody but the Cardinals, I'm happy for. I view them as the Yankees of the National League. So it's kind of weird for me to be rooting for the Dodgers over them. In the American League, I kind of feel like Boston's had theirs. My brother lives in Michigan, and so he's been pulling for the Tigers. So as simpatico as I feel with the long-suffering Red Sox fans, they've gotten two just in the last, few years now. So I guess
I think we could all agree it should have been three. And
oh man, Paul, come on. This is your personal agenda has no place here.
And now
I'm not trying to drag it out of you. I'm just it's just sort of a universal thing we could all agree on.
Yeah, sure. Well, I should, on the walls of my office are a couple of framed pictures of Wrigley Field that my kids have given me, and I'm just hoping I live long enough to see them win it all. So
sure.
Then I'll be happy.
I can agree with that.
You're going to be living a long time.
I hope so.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure what you're asking for, really. You might be just saying,
they're one
eternal life.
This,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe if I live another 100 years.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you so much for joining us, Greg. I know you got to run and so forth, but nice to get it straight from the director's mouth.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me. Yeah. And anytime, let me know. I'll be happy to rejoin you guys and answer any other questions. Did you have any caller questions that you wanted to take? At one point, we talked about that.
We could do that.
About
to the wolves a little bit.
Chat room questions.
Well, they want to know if Fiddler on the Roof or Oklahoma.
Right.
If you
the
were
eternal debate.
Yeah, if you were a librarian on the roof, would the Music Man save you? No, I don't know. I'm sorry. Can you say anything about Cortana? They really like this idea.
I am a Halo fan.
Good. Good start. Good start. Yeah.
I like the increased role that Cortana had in the latest take on that franchise.
Yes. Very politic,
and,
yes.
I think there's some cool stuff going on there.
Okay.
So on behalf of the world, Greg, Cortana is a way better name than
Siri,
whatever you're probably going to call it.
Or tell so me.
If you could keep that name, I think a lot of people
I think it's a great name.
Certainly appreciate that.
I will share your feedback.
It's a code name, though, right? I mean, you're not going to call it. You can't call it Cortana in public. She was barely clothed.
Cortana's a great great character in the Halo franchise.
Digital,
yeah, she's digital. She wasn't. She's not bad. She's just drawn that way.
She's also just assembled that way.
Assembled that way. You know, most of the questions we're getting through the chat room are things that you're not going to say anything about.
It was kind of bad timing to get Greg to come on the day that Windows 8.1 came out, too, when you think about it.
Well, here's one you can answer. What's the story with the teeny-weeny guitar on your wall?
Oh, I wanted to ask that question, too.
That is a that's a gift from my buddy. I play music with a few friends of mine, and he got us all little miniature guitars. And so
does it play?
It's got all of the, it's got strings on it and everything. It doesn't actually make any sound though, but, that's my little,
so you can play blues on the world's smallest guitar.
Exactly.
You hear this?
when I'm feeling sorry for myself.
You hear this?
So, you know, so this time you get your fingers up, you know, you do the,
you know, and the stuff they want to know, what about YouTube? I know you're not going to respond to that, but, what about YouTube?
Well, yeah, I mean, we just republished kind of an earlier YouTube app. You know, it's been interesting to see the lengths that it's frustrating because we want to deliver the best experience to end users. And I think, you know, there's kind of universal agreement that the app that we built for YouTube for Windows Phone was great. It was highly reviewed. It delivered a great experience. We tried to do everything we could to work with Google to implement the requested changes that they gave us guidance for. They didn't make it easy, frankly, to implement all of the changes and then kind of, I suppose you could say, move the goalposts a little bit. So it's just been kind of weird because, and to me, there's a pattern here. We're interested in making happy customers, and we want to deliver a product that people like and find value in and will use. And one would think that that would be kind of that motivation would be shared by others who have mutual customers and want to provide them with things that they find valuable and like as well. But that doesn't seem to be the case, and I think there's a pattern through, you know, the quote-unquote accidental disabling of maps, through, you know, the email protocols and through other things. There's a pattern of almost actively trying to disadvantage our platform. So it's been a little frustrating, but we're doing the best that we can to deliver good experiences for our mutual customers, and that's all we can do.
That's a good answer. You were more candid than I expected. That's good.
I probably said way more than I should.
We like
you were very nice about it.
No, but I think that's great. I'm glad to hear that put that way. Yeah. So I'm going to ask a question. How about that?
All right.
Because here comes Nokia. Is that going to first of all, this has to be approved to the U.S. and by Finland, and some, you know, probably months off, if not a year off. But are you already starting to gear up and think about that? How does that change what you do?
Yeah, in the near term, for those of us who are, you know, have products to ship and things to do, and it hasn't really changed anything. And in fact, it can't until regulatory approval happens. So until it's actually a done deal, it doesn't really change anything day to day. Now there is a set of people obviously thinking long and hard about how to do the integration pending regulatory approval. So once that does get okayed, how will things work? And there's folks that are figuring that all out. Those of us who are just working on the day-to-day stuff, though, are really full steam ahead, business as usual. And in fact, that's kind of how it has to be until the deal gets approved.
From legal point of view. But it has to be exciting to have the thought that you can have hardware now that you control, just as you do with Surface.
Yeah, the prospects are very exciting, and then the reasons for the acquisition that were announced when it happened was really to kind of accelerate this whole business along the same directionally. It's one of the things that we're proud of is the fact that when Joe got up on stage at Mobile World Congress in 2010 and unveiled Windows Phone 7, we had a set of principles around which we designed the user experience and, in fact, our whole business end-to-end. We changed our approach to the mobile business in every meaningful way. And those changes were based on some very solid principles that we established, and we haven't varied from those principles. The idea of taking control of the user experience, of having it be consistent on every device, on having even the most affordable phones deliver that high quality experience, on kind of amassing a bunch of Microsoft assets and letting them light up your start screen in the live tile. So that those principles, if in fact many of them have begun to kind of spread not just throughout Microsoft, but even influence, I think, the whole industry. And I think you're seeing iOS 7 and the flat design, and they're getting away from skeuomorphism. So there are some of the key principles that we established with Windows Phone initially are not only consistent and unwavering from our standpoint 3 years down the road, but they're beginning to kind of catch hold broadly. So that's gratifying. And I think one of the cool things that will happen as a result of the acquisition is that we'll accelerate the business, and that will be good for anybody who's in the Windows Phone business. So it is exciting. And in today's world, the notion of being both a first party and a third party platform provider is not that novel, right? A few years ago, people assumed it was kind of a truism. You had to pick between being vertically integrated or a horizontal platform provider. But increasingly, that ain't the case. And in fact, I'll argue that maybe in the future, the best platform is the one that benefits from the advantages of being vertically integrated and a first-party provider, and then delivering those benefits horizontally to other manufacturers. So you see Google buying Motorola, you see Microsoft making PCs with Surface. The idea is not anathema, as it once was. You can be both a first- and third-party platform provider, and in fact, going forward, that might be the best way to do it. And I think that's kind of the thinking here.
And one more from the chat room, if you don't mind, guys. This is Scott Michaud, who's asking with regard to web apps, what about device APIs, device-level APIs for web browsers to access hardware like the accelerometer and vibration to keep web apps at a parity with native apps? Are you interested in having web apps become a platform?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's an ongoing debate in the industry about the model for when can the battle between kind of native and abstraction layer, right. And I think what you're talking about effectively is an abstraction layer,
right.
Or some effectively some type of runtime that provides some of the universality that is kind of the holy grail of app development. And I just had my 23rd anniversary at Microsoft, and in my first or second year at Microsoft, I remember the discussions about app to app communication and kind of the notion that we would have the portability from an app standpoint. And there are the same trade-offs that happened 20, 30 years ago are true today. Now, it is true that the Moore's Law has made processors better. We got fast networks, and so some of the costs of that abstraction layer are mitigated by better hardware and better standards and better layers of compatibility at that abstraction layer, but you're still not fundamentally exploiting the underlying platform and the underlying hardware, and your app will be disadvantaged if it can't fully exploit the underlying platform. So the notion that that programs written to an abstraction layer that doesn't fully exploit the underlying GPU or system can be as good. For many scenarios, they can, and it's this is kind of the philosophical debate on app development is can you get the abstraction layer good enough so that the costs associated with it are outweighed by the benefits of the universality? And I think it's an ongoing discussion. Right now, we feel pretty strongly that the native implementation is gonna win, especially for some of the key scenarios that people care about. So that's going to be an ongoing discussion with the app plat guys. So
good. You guys want anything else from Greg, or should we let him go?
We'll let him go for now.
All right. Off the hook, Greg Sullivan, director of Windows Phone. Hey, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Lee.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Great stuff.
Take care.
All right.
Thanks. See you.
Moving right along. I tell you what, while we readjust, press the buttons, change the things, let me do a little commercial, and we'll come back with more. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, Windows Weekly, as always, talking about the latest with Windows. Windows 8.1 shipping today, and so that's a big topic for us. Always with me and Paul, the big topic is, of course, Audible Books, audible.com. We're big fans. 150,000 titles now, and I was curious if you were going to recommend this, Paul, and I'm dying to read it. So here's the deal. We're going to get you a free book. You know, that's the deal. We're going to get you a free book. And the question is, what should that free book be? And, of course, with 150,000 titles, it could be pretty much anything you want. And there are all sorts of wonderful books at audible.com. We're huge fans. But Paul is recommending, I think this is a good one, the new book about Amazon and Jeff Bezos. Have you read it yet?
No, I haven't. And the reason I wanted to recommend this is because it's an industry book and it's new, and we don't have enough of these, I think. So,
well, Brad Stone is great, by the way. I know him. I'm a fan. This is called The Everything Store, Jeff Bezos and the Age of Amazon.
I have read at least one book about Amazon, you know, but it seems like as we move through time, you know, Microsoft was a big topic for these kinds of books around the antitrust time period. Google was temporarily a big deal. Apple, of course, has been a big deal. And, you know, a couple of books now on Amazon. And so, you know, these things kind of move along. So I'm very curious to read this.
Me too. I can't wait.
Mostly because I'm hoping it's up to date. Because I think a lot of the early stuff, you know, we all know he started a store and they made a list of the 10 top items and books were the best one. And that's how they started down that path. But what I'm really interested in are their technology initiatives, the cloud computing stuff that they do, the devices, the Android platform stuff. And I'm really hoping it has some of that in there. And so I wanted to get this in there because it's brand new and I've got a lot on my plate from a book perspective, you know, both Audible and Kindle. But I knew this would be of interest to people. So
I think I've read some excerpts, I think, from the book.
And I listened to the excerpts. I mean, the Audible reading is one of those kind of stiffer versions, I would say.
Yeah, sometimes they get those business books. They get them from Blackstone.
Yeah, you know, it's
this is Hachette published this one, so. Let's hear. Well, let's listen a little bit. Maybe it's not horrible.
This is Desco, as its employees affectionately called it. Started in 1988.
You see what I'm saying? David it's like that old school
Audible. Pete Larkin has been smoking a little bit too much, but that's okay. that's Hachette.
Well, the other thing is, unfortunately, this excerpt isn't about Bezos or Amazon. It's about someone, I guess, who they tried to hire, and he started some kind of a supercomputing company or something. Right, but the actual excerpt is about something else, so it's kind of a strange excerpt, too.
What I've read from the book has been great. So. Yeah. I'll tell you what, we're going to read it. You could, too. Absolutely free. We're trying to get you, figure out what your first book's going to be. If you visit audible.com/windows, you can get that first book free. I'm very interested in these Playtone things. Now, the things they carried, Tim O'Brien's amazing book about Vietnam vets, is incredible. Not vets, but on the ground. And Bryan Cranston narrates it. So I'm
he's
thinking
probably great for that.
Yeah, of course, Walter White from Breaking Bad, and I'm thinking this is going to be one definitely on my list. These are books about the American experience that Audible's highlighting. Some really good stuff. Gosh, I love some of these books. This is the problem. You get a credit, but you know, it's choosing. There's so much good stuff. You'll never run out. At least I can say that. I want you to visit audible.com/windows. You're signing up for the gold account. Your first 30 days are free. Your first book is free. Cancel in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. Book is yours to keep forever. How about this one? You might have seen the movie Captain Phillips, but how about Richard Phillips' own story, A Captain's Duty, about getting captured by Somali pirates and freed by SEAL Team 6? Wow, that's got to be dramatic, right? Malala has her book, I Am Malala, The Girl Who Stood Up for Education and Was Shot by the Taliban. I mean, fiction, nonfiction, science fiction, history, there's an endless array of entertainment, of learning, of fun waiting for you. And I have to say, without Audible, I probably would have, I don't know, I would have driven off the road. It saved me from my my commute. It saves me at the gym. I can spend a little extra time on the treadmill because I'm enjoying myself. Audible.com/windows, your first book. is free. What is that? Is that me?
Is that me? That's you.
Making that sound? Hello, Dolly. Who knew that Greg was an aficionado of the American musical?
You learn something about Greg every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He seemed like he was kind of forthright. I hope we didn't get him in trouble.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
And you know what's funny about that? He's the guy who coined this year, Shut Up and Ship. That was him.
I love it.
So it's funny that he is being forthright after saying Shut Up and Ship.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one Greg Sullivan story, because I love Greg and I go back years and years with Greg. But Microsoft in the years between Windows XP and Vista, of course, they had some tablet releases. They had, media center releases. And then Longhorn was happening, and it was taking a long time. And they had to try to figure out this kind of stopgap thing. So they came up with this initiative inside about Windows XP and how they were going to do a second edition kind of a thing. Like they weren't sure how they were going to ship it. They were like reimagining Windows. They knew they had to sort of relaunch, Windows XP. And then they ended up not really doing it that way. And I was at the event for this relaunched version of XP. It was sort of like Windows XP plus Service Pack 2 plus new versions of all their media apps and all this kind of other stuff. And I said, and I was talking to the PR guy, and I said, this is that thing that I've been writing about that you will never admit that really existed, right? And the guys go, well, Microsoft as an organization is always trying to think about how we deliver things to customers, blah, blah, blah. And he's going on and on and on. I'm like, hold on a second. I'm like, Greg. Greg's walking by. And I said, this is the thing. And he goes, yep.
That's what I'm looking for.
I looked at the PR guy and I said, that's how you answer a question.
Yep. Yep. But he's a director. He's been at Microsoft 23 years. He can do that.
Yeah. It was just funny. And I said, it's simple.
There are guys like that in a lot of these organizations. I think of Matt Cutts at Google, have been there since day one and have a certain amount of freedom that others do not or lack, or at least a sense that they can get away with stuff. And those are the ones you want to talk to, frankly.
Yep.
Because they'll.
Well, you get the kind of PR runaround thing.
Yeah, they don't do that mealy mouth PR thing that we all hate so dang much. So you, Paul, wrote an extensive Windows Phone 8 Update 3 GDDR3 preview, so people can find out.
Yeah, you can check that out. And I've been writing articles since then that go into each of the articles. Into each of the new features. So that'll probably be like a week's worth of stuff by the time it's all said and done.
But and you've
a lot
been,
going on.
You've been using it, but people are going to get it soon?
Anyone can get it right now. I mean, that's the trick. So Greg, for good reason, is very careful to couch it as a developer release, because it is. But as he sort of, said, this is actually the final version of their software.
Yeah.
And it's So the sort of general public available version that may come out in the months ahead will be combined with carrier and handset updates, firmware, drivers, whatever. But the Microsoft part of it is done. And if you want it now, you can get it.
Right.
And
would there be a disadvantage to doing that, or you would still get the carrier update when it gets pushed?
Yeah, so there are potential disadvantages. It is the final code for Microsoft, so it's not like it's a, it's not a beta. It's not a high-risk situation, but it could, I want to be clear about this, it could, not will, but it could void your warranty.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I think when you buy a phone from a wireless carrier and you're on this two-year contract, you don't have a lot of rights anyway. And I'm not trying to push people toward installing this, but let's face it. If you break your phone, you're not getting a new phone like the one you had. I mean, the warranty such as it is, I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything, but it's not that great. Right. So this to me is a very high quality upgrade. I think anyone listening to this podcast could go through the steps to install this. It's very simple and would have a very high quality experience. You can't go back. I mean, so that's one of the downsides is you can't go back to GDDR2. You can only go forward. That's good life advice for everybody, really.
You can't go home again, kids.
It's a metaphor for life.
Yeah. Speaking of which, my install on Windows 8.1 is about this far. So I think
what color is the screen?
The screen is still white.
Oh, it's still white. Oh, you're not even close to
that. Oh, no, it's downloading still.
It's just downloading.
This is, so what I'm saying is it's like.
Oh, that's terrible.
Here's
that's
the
it.
Bar. Yeah. Here's where I am.
Yeah, we'll see this next week.
Yeah. And we have fast. We have good bandwidth in here. So
part of the install.
Right. This is just the download the bits.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a bit. The server's busy right now.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people trying to get it. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Free version of Microsoft Office, huh? That's cool.
Wait. We skipped some stuff.
Oh, we skipped some stuff?
Sorry, yeah.
Let's do the rumor thing.
Rumor watch.
Rumors. Yeah. So this is kind of funny coming after Greg being on the show because, you know, like you pointed out, Leo, there are a lot of things he can't talk about, even though he is forthright. He can't talk about futures, right? So I wrote a post this week about now that Windows 8.1 is out and now that Update 3 for Windows Phone 8 is out, what comes next? And, you know, Microsoft's not talking about this at all, but I've been kind of pinging around asking my sources. And I'll tell you what I hear is coming next after this. So supposedly the next big date when operating system releases are coming from Microsoft is spring 2014. And we talked about this last week, I think, on the show, where there's going to be Windows Phone Blue, which is Windows Phone 8.1, probably the next thing that follows Update 3. That's supposedly coming in the spring of 2014. And then there's supposedly also an update to Windows 8.1 that may or may not be called GDR, or it may be called Update. I don't know what they're going to use as a term, but it's going to be something that comes out right alongside Windows Phone Blue. So they're trying to bring together these two operating systems and bring them a little bit closer together. I don't think this is where we'll see the unified store yet, but you might see something like a more unified dev platform at that point. Then, you know, a lot of people have been speculating, would there be another release of Windows itself next fall? Because supposedly they're on an annual update schedule right now for Windows. I've been asking that. I hear no. I hear that Microsoft's now going to be moving to a spring timeframe for Windows. And so that the next version of Windows that we might see after Windows 8.1 and this minor update, the next real version or the next major version will be not until spring 2015. And whatever that is, it sounds like it's going to be some kind of a hybrid between Windows RT and Windows Phone OS, like we've been kind of speculating on the show. It might just be called Windows, but it's definitely going to be something that takes a little bit from each of those two platforms, munges them together, and that's where you're going to start being able to see something that's based on like a Windows Phone OS core with Windows enhancements.
But this is for the desktop.
For the desktop, for everything, for tablets, desktop, that'll run on everything from like a 7 to 10-inch tablet up. Yeah, so this is going to get a little crazy, but you can think why this is happening. They have this new unified operating system group at Microsoft now. The person running that is Terry Myerson, who's been running Windows Phone. So you think, you know, after the Windows team has had a lot of power, I think their power is going to wane a bit inside Microsoft. And now the Windows Phone team is going to get more powerful. So, you know, it's going to be a combination of politics and practicality. And this is what you're going to start seeing happen. You're going to see Windows Phone OS being the base for whatever comes forward as the mobile OS from Microsoft. So it's going to get interesting in the next year plus. It's going to change a lot in terms of how Windows is made, what it looks like, how it works. And you know, it's not so crazy. Microsoft's just trying to keep up with all the changes in the market. You know, mobility is the key now. Tablets are becoming a more dominant form factor. Phones are becoming more dominant form factor. So, you know, for the years when PCs were the thing are yielding now to when phones and tablets are the big thing. So it's going to be pretty cool. I don't know what the code name is yet for whatever follows Blue, but we'll work on that.
Paul's been saying this was going to happen. He's smiling now. I'm scared.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
So there will no more be a RT and Pro. It'll all be just.
Mary Jo, you know, it's one Windows, right? I mean,
one Windows.
It's all supposed to be one Windows, right?
The you know, this makes Windows users feel really squishy. I mean, this is a weird thing for people. If you are used to the desktop and like the desktop and don't like this mobile emphasis and don't like the touch stuff, you know, this kind of conversation is not what you want to hear. But even in Windows 8 and RT today, you know, we, Mary Jo and I and you and I and people in the press and bloggers and so forth, you know, we need some way to differentiate between this new stuff and the old stuff. And so the old stuff is easy. It's the Windows desktop. The new stuff, you know, different people have different terms for it. I still call it Metro. You know, David Pogue calls it Tile World. You know, we all have little names for it. But you know what? From Microsoft's perspective, that is Windows. And that the differentiation is that's Windows, and the Windows desktop is the desktop. And it's like the thing that was Windows is like something else now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you weren't already uncomfortable by the whole mobile thing, that's going to send a little shiver down your spine. So, you know, that's kind of how Microsoft perceives it. And that's how this stuff is changing.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Again, just the messenger.
But that is it. That's huge. I mean, if you thought Windows 8 was a big shift, this is huge.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, this week, people, you know, based on what Mary Jo has written and, you know, based on these stories we've seen about the integrated Windows Store, you know, the one Windows Store for both Windows and phone, you know, people have written me a lot in the past week and with questions along the lines of, do you think that the future of Windows is Windows Phone with some stuff brought in from Windows, or is it like Windows with some stuff brought in from Windows Phone? And it's like, guys, you know, it's not really important to get this specific. It's just Windows. You know, and people are like freaking out over the nuances of this stuff. But
this is not a surprise. You guys just go, oh, yeah, of course, we knew this was happening.
Well,
no, we're trying to. This is the captain of the ship is trying to remain calm in the face of the storm. But you know, you might want to move to the boats. That's all we're saying.
I mean, this is safe for everybody. Most people don't listen to this show. In the world, we're working on that. And in a year and a few months, they may get a little bit of a shock.
Yeah. Right. You know, the part we don't know is there still going to be something else called Windows that's different from this thing we're talking about that still obviously has a desktop and looks a lot like Windows 8.1. And then maybe this hybrid thing we're talking about becomes for mini the OS for mini tablets and phones. You know, it may skew like that instead. But in a way, a lot of us are getting what we wished for. Remember when Microsoft first was talking about what should be the tablet OS? So many of us said it should be the Windows Phone OS, right?
Right.
And by the way, what a comeuppance this is, really, because, you know, I'm one of those people. I had been arguing for probably years by now that, you know, they had this thing. It's mature. It's great. I would love to have a bigger tablet device running Windows Phone, yada, yada, yada. And now it's like, okay, we're going to do it on Windows Phone. And it's like, you know, it is weird bridging the gap between the desktop and this mobile stuff because they're really two different, completely different things.
Well, there's a big difference in screen size.
There is.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
It seems to me Windows Phone was designed for a small screen.
Initially. Yeah. But, you know, again, as these things evolve,
right.
Windows Phone is being evolved up. Windows is being evolved down. It's happening right now with the 8-inch devices. Yeah. They're going to meet in the middle.
Right. So it won't look like the Windows Phone OS we have now. It'll be like Windows Phone OS with a bunch of stuff on top of it. So it won't just be what we see now as Windows Phone OS. We don't know what the stuff on top of it part is.
Yeah.
It's nougat.
this may be more relevant for developers than it is for end users.
Well, eventually it's going to be relevant for everybody, but it is something we're going to have to deal with. And you know, you're always going to hear first from those people who can't see how that transition can happen. The people that use Photoshop, you know, the people who are developers, people who use like high-end CAD CAM or video editing software or whatever it is. I mean, those will be the last to go if they ever go. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. You know, we can't see the future. I mean, I don't know exactly, but clearly the mass mainstream of computing is heading toward these little devices that we can't stop staring at when we're out in public and, you know, that people love these things. And this is kind of where things are going.
Well, I'm going to retire before that happens.
Yeah.
I'm obviously a dinosaur. Interesting. But I mean, this is the process Microsoft began several years ago. I mean, it's not a surprise, really.
But it's still hard pill to swallow.
The part that's surprising, it's funny. I was just looking back at last year and what happened last year at Microsoft and how all the things that happened in October and November. And it's kind of crazy to look back now because so much has changed in the past year. You know, last year they launched Windows 8 in October. They launched Windows Phone 8 right after that. And then Steven Sinofsky was gone right after that. It was like one thing happened after another, you know. And all of these things together, I think, are what are bringing the changes that we're seeing now. It's a combination of things that happen personnel-wise and things that happen product-wise.
It's like shockwaves from a tsunami or something.
No, it's like in 1 year, after, so what do you call much has changed.
Those Trump, what do you call it? Aftershock, you know, from an earthquake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fun stuff.
I know.
You want to change the name of the show?
Well, it's still Windows.
Still Windows.
Yeah, it's still going to be Windows. Whatever.
But it's not your grandpa's Windows.
That's for sure. Yeah, it's like, yeah, right. It is like Oldsmobile, right? Hopefully not exactly the same end game.
It's not your father's Windows.
You know, they try to modernize the brand and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's tough when you have a brand that is a legacy, you know.
And you want to change it before it's all over. I mean, you want to make that shift while you're still on top.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing to do, right?
Yeah. I mean, yep.
I've said this before. I admire what Microsoft has been trying to do. I may not agree with the end result, but I do admire their guts. Their
you know, the one thing they're, you know, unless something changes, and by the way, anything could change, but the one thing they do still have, I mean, for all of the device baloney and cloud services, yada, 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 you know, when you want to sit down in front of a screen and type, Windows PC is still the way to go.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still a much better experience. And you can contort iPads into doing that. You can use a Chromebook.
Yeah. You could
use an Android device maybe, but you know, ultimately, when you want to be productive, it's still right there.
Right. Anything else you want to say before we go to our tip of the week?
No, the rest of this stuff is junk.
Free Office Student Advantage Program. Go get it.
If your educational institution is participating in the education version of Office 365,
that's nice.
They can now give it away to students for free.
That's nice. Kind of like a Google Docs.
Kind of, except this is Office on your PC.
Right.
So it's pretty good.
Paul Thurrott, your tip of the week, my friend.
So I'm going to add one in here because something better has arisen since the show started. But we touched on my tip and software pick earlier in the show. So the tip of the week is, before you get into any of this upgrade stuff, make sure that you...
Yes.
This is
a 16 gig USB key.
This is a good tip. No, I'm sorry. This is different. So people ask, you know, I have multiple computers and I want to install, you know, I want to go from Windows 8 to Windows 8.1, but I don't want to do this 2 to 3.62 gigabyte download
for one of them.
Just download it once and use the install media. And actually, you kind of can. I need to experiment with this and write it up. This sounds familiar to something that happened with Windows 8, but basically, there's a page on Microsoft.com. I've got a link to it here. I've been tweeting it today, and we'll put it into an article soon. But what it allows you to do is run a web installer with an existing product key to Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. And you can choose whether you're going to make install media for 8 or 8.1. And then you can download the ISO, you can burn a disk, you can make USB media, whatever it is. This is what people have been asking for.
This is cool.
I believe I need to experiment with it, but this happened, I found out about this right before the show.
Can I use the product key that's on that sticker on the bottom of my laptop?
You should be able to, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So when you run this, what it's going to do is bring up what looks like the Windows setup dialog. It's purple, you know, the new Windows 8 style one.
Yeah.
It will require a product key and it will go from there. But there are separate versions for 8.1 and for 8. So I need to look at this. I think the way that this works, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe that, if I remember from the previous version, if you're running it on a 64-bit version of Windows 8, you can only create 64-bit install media, I think. So if you wanted 32-bit, you'd have to run this from a 32-bit machine. But I think that's how this works. But this should do the trick if you need to do that kind of thing.
And it is not burning that serial number into the download. You can now use that on other machines.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. It's just to make sure you qualify for the download.
Right. Oh, that's great. So do that. That might even be faster. Now, that ISO.
What I want to do is get a Windows 8 retail product key from a box, you know, from a boxed version of software. Try that against the 8.1 download, which I think is what a lot of people want to do because they just want to do a clean install of 8.1. So I believe that's going to work.
But I have an OEM PC with, somewhere, this is that.
That might actually still work too. That'd be something where I'm going to test all of it. So I just haven't done it yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that worked too.
Somewhere that information is available.
Well, remember I said, you know, a couple of months ago when the MSDN and TechNet versions came out, the download you got was basically this same ISO file, right?
Yeah.
But the difference is that you could only run setup if you had a TechNet or MSDN key. You couldn't do it against a retail key.
Right.
I believe that this version is the one that will work against retail keys.
So you could use your retail key, which I'm looking at right now. It's in the system information. Get the file. Then go from machine to machine and get the serial number for that different machines and just install there.
Yeah, I mean, if you bought, like, I don't have one right in front of me, but if you bought, like, the boxed copy of Windows 8, you know, you open it up.
You could use that, too. Right.
It's a little card. It's got the key on it.
Right.
Set. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So, good tip. For the software, what's that?
Good tip.
Yeah.
And that secret key, that secret page you're going to put, that you've tweeted it, I see it here. I mean, it's a long URL.
Yes, it is. The title of the article is Upgrade Windows with Only a Product Key.
And that's the name of the page, too, by the way, is Windows 8 Upgrade Product Key Only.
Well, I mean, right. The article I'm going to write is actually going to be called something like.
Oh, I see.
Download a Windows 8.1 ISO or something like that, because I think that's the point is people want to know how
now,
to
do this.
That.
Does this wipe your apps? Is it a clean install?
Well, so the point of this is you could use this to do the install, but you're not going to. What you're going to do is run the installer. It's going to download the ISO. And then you get an option where it says, do you want to install it or do you want to take the ISO and do something with that? You say, I want to take the ISO, create install media. You're not going to install it this way. You're going to just use it to create the media.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got to write the article, but that's the basic gist of it.
Got it. Very good. So that's probably a good way to go if you have even two to install.
Yeah.
Why download twice?
Sure.
Right?
Especially maybe you'd install it from work. I mean, create the media at work and then bring it home where you, you know,
upgrade it home. Yeah.
I had used Facebook for Windows 8.1 as the software pick of the week, and it's still a good pick. You know, anyone who has been using Windows 8 knows, you know, we don't have Facebook, so now we have Facebook. The only comment I want to make about the app is I kind of like the way it looks because if you're familiar with how Facebook today looks and works on, you know, iOS, Android, or Windows Phone. You know, you've got that timeline view in the middle, and then you can swipe over to get your kind of user-centric commands, and then you can swipe over to the right to get the list of your friends who are online that you can chat with. And because of the widescreen nature of a Windows screen, you get all three of those columns in one view, which is actually pretty cool. And if you decide to snap it, then you just get that middle view like you would on a phone. So it's actually kind of a nice-looking app. It's not perfect or anything, but it looks and works like Facebook mobile apps. So kind of a cool one. The one that I don't have in the notes, though, that I think people will be interested in is Microsoft recently announced and today delivered remote desktop apps for iOS and Android.
And so RDP, yeah.
They let you control a Windows-based PC from iPad, a Windows phone. An iPhone, an Android handset, whatever. And so I've just downloaded them on my devices while we were doing the show, but I obviously haven't played around with them yet. I've been kind of busy here, but after the show, I'll play around with those. But the way to find them, because the problem is if you go to the Play Store, if you go to the App Store and you search for remote desktop, there's like 137 different entries. But the Microsoft one is called Microsoft Remote Desktop. And if you search for that, that will help you find it more quickly.
Okay. Mary Jo Foley, your enterprise pick of the week here.
My enterprise pick of the week is SQL Server 2014. This week at the SQL Pass show, Microsoft announced that CTP2, which is a community technology preview 2, is available for SQL Server 2014. And so if you remember, SQL Server 2014 is where Microsoft is doing things with in-memory database technology being built right into SQL Server. And with the CTP2 update, they're doing a bunch of things to enhance that in-memory online transaction processing, and the in-memory OLTP database functionality. They're also doing some things around taking advantage of clustered shared volumes, doing some new technology additions around transaction throughput and lower latency for OLTP applications. So it's just basically an update to the first CTP that came out earlier this year. We don't still know when the final version of SQL Server 2014 will be out, but I've heard a rumor that it may be either very late this year or early 2014. So if you're somebody who's been kicking tires on SQL, the next version of SQL Server, you might want to go grab this CTP 2.
Excellent.
And so I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just installed the that's like my Windows Server on an iPhone.
That is cool. Oh,
wow. That is cool. How funny is that? Yeah,
that is great. Very.
That is funny.
Awesome.
Sorry.
So it works.
It works.
And your code name pick of the week.
Yeah, this is a really funny code name. So last week we talked about Bittersweet Shimmer
being
a code name, right?
Yeah.
That was the code name for the Nokia firmware and updates that they delivered on top of GDR2 for Windows Phone. And I don't know if you remember, but I said Bittersweet Shimmer was actually a code name for a code name. And I didn't know what the original code name, the second code name was, but Bittersweet Shimmer is the code name for code name Black. Isn't this weird? So the real code name for what everybody's been calling Bittersweet Shimmer is Black. And so now we know Nokia's on this whole color theme, right? They had Amber, then they had Bittersweet Shimmer / Black. It's going to be really interesting to see what the next couple code names are from them. But you can guess they're going to be colors.
Crayola colors.
I know. We've got blue. We've got black. It's like we're going to go through the whole box of however
many. What's the big box? Is it 1,000? I mean,
right?
It's huge. We've got plenty of code names
here.
There's
plenty of colors.
It's appropriate, right? Because you black out when you have a stroke. So it's kind of close to what I was thinking of last week. You know?
See? There you go. It all has a reason.
Yeah.
So that's the weird code name of the week, Black.
And finally, for those of you with celiac disease, there's a beer.
Yep. So, again, I was realizing I don't think I've ever done a gluten-free beer pick of the week. But there are people who cannot drink beers, regular beers, because they have celiac disease or gluten intolerant or other reasons.
So beer's not made with wheat necessarily, but it's made with barley and hops.
Right.
Does barley have gluten?
That's a very good question. I think it does. I believe it does.
Okay.
But
so this
beer's
is made with sorghum.
Sorghum.
If you've ever wondered what sorghum is.
Now you know.
Well, no, you don't know. But at least you know what you can do with it.
Yeah, you don't want to know, right?
Wow.
I had a taste of this beer. It's a beer called Alchemist Celia Saison. I had it this week because one of my sisters actually is gluten intolerant and she wanted to drink a beer. So this is a really decent choice. It's a Belgian style Saison. They make it with sorghum. It's made by Alchemy Brewing. I think they do it with Ipswich Brewing as a partnership. And it tastes pretty much like a Belgian Saison. It's 5.4%. So if you're ever somewhere where you're like, hey, I want to drink a beer. I don't want to drink a cider or a wine, but I don't want to have the gluten. Give this one a shot. It's
cool.
Not bad.
Celia Saison from Ipswich Ale Brewery. And I think that brings us to the close of today's exciting episode of Windows Weekly 8.1.
I'm still blown away by this whole little... You can actually... because it's like a touch screen.
It's killing, by the way. Whatever you're doing is killing your bandwidth. So stop it. He's so excited about RDP.
I'll stop remotely administering my server.
There you go. That just fixed it.
Sorry
about
that.
It fixed it. Yeah. So it must be a big bandwidth hog.
That's funny. It probably just killed the battery on this thing, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing to think about. Yeah, absolutely. Paul Thurrott is at the Supersite for Windows, a good place to go if you want to know all about the 8.1 upgrade, pros and cons, ins and outs, ups and downs, overs and outs. Will it wipe my apps? One never knows, but Paul does, and that's why you go to the Supersite for Windows.
I think about
wiping your apps. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's where she blogs about the Microsoft and gets great scoops like this one about the future of Windows. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's why you listen to this show each and every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 1800 UTC. We do it live on twit.tv. If you want to listen to after the fact audio or video, we've got that on demand at twit.tv/WW. Better, though, subscribe. Anywhere you can get podcasts, you can subscribe to this show, and you'll always get the latest version automatically. Windows Weekly. Thank you, Paul Thurrott. Thank you, Mary Jo. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.